Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Hi, it's Lewis calling from INS Law. I'm just calling in regards to your Scottish Redress Scheme application. Isn't that a convenient time? Your Scottish Redress application.
Which redress? Sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
Scottish Redress application.
What is it?
So we've received an inquiry from Every Story Heard regarding a potential application.
About what? Well, this is what I'm asking. Like, you're not making sense.
So the Scottish Redress Scheme is a scheme that provides apologies and payments to survivors of historical child abuse incurred in Scotland.
Ah, right, yeah.
So did you send an application in for it?
Uh-huh, it's just obviously I was in care, but just because the advert just said, well, you're in care, aye.
Okay, I can take you through it, if now is a convenient time to talk.
Aye, that's fine.
It is just regarding, obviously, historic abuse that people have suffered. So, just need to remind you that calls are recorded for training and quality purposes. And just so that we can look at your file, are you okay to confirm your full name for data protection?
It's Callum Pepper.
And then also your date of birth. What was that? Sorry, it sounded quite distant, the call.
Sorry, it's the 19th of the 9th, 1992.
19th of the 9th, 1992. Yeah. Okay. And then, are you also okay to confirm your home address?
I didn't really give my home address out with it, so I don't know how you would be able to confirm it.
So it's just so that I can add it to your file in order to progress the application if we don't have an address on file at the moment.
It's flat 139 Burnley Street.
Flat 139.
Burnley.
And would you mind just telling them?
Aye. Burn, B-U-R-N, and then B-L-E-A.
L-E-A. Was that street?
Yes.
And is that in Hamilton?
Yep.
And that's ML36RF.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so in regards to contacting, are you okay with email, text, and phone calls?
Yep.
Okay, and just to add another layer of security to your account, would you like to add a password? It can be any word.
No.
Okay. So in regards to your application, I appreciate that discussing experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. Please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or prefer to continue another time, please just let me know. Do you suffer from any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you wish to make us aware of?
See, this is the thing. I wouldn't say I suffer with them, but I'm diagnosed dyslexic and ADHD.
Yeah, that's okay. I can make a note of that. Okay. So the purpose of today's call is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme, explain your options, explain how INS Law operates, discuss funding and fees, and to gather initial information to assess whether we may be able to assist you.
No worries.
Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us. You are entitled to apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor or instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme. They are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under the Government Scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with the application, regardless of whether you're successful or not. So INS Law does not operate under the statutory scheme and will not claim those government funder fees. If you do decide to instruct us, you would be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you. So at this stage, please, can you confirm that you've not instructed any other solicitors to act for you in relation to your application to the Scottish Redress Scheme?
No, I've not.
Okay. So our agreement operates on a no-win, no-fee basis. So this means if your application is unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you also pay nothing. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees will consist of basic charges based on time spent and a success fee. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment. So this means that you'll never pay more than 19.2%.
Okay.
So it is important that I make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of the award that the scheme may award you. The Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I will explain in greater detail during this call. So if instructed, we can assist you with whether you'll be eligible to apply to the Redress Scheme, gathering and reviewing the evidence, preparing and submitting the application, corresponding with the Scottish Redress Scheme, advising you on any offer made, explaining the statutory waiver if an award is offered, and any assistance with reconsideration or review process within the scheme. So if redress make you an offer, we will fully explain the statutory waiver before you decide to do anything such as accept it. It is important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. You would never be expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences. If you decide to proceed, you do have a 14-day cancellation period after signing the agreement. You can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. Are you happy for the work to begin immediately while your cancellation rights still remain?
So is it, I take it the payment would just be taken, like what I owe you would just be taken for my settlement?
Yeah.
So just like a car insurance claim?
Yeah, just right. Taken from, but yeah. So we are able to formally act for you. We will require proof of your identity for verification purposes. So we therefore will need a copy of your photographic ID and proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date. We require this information to comply with the anti-money laundering regulations. And following this conversation, I'll send you an email in relation to what is and what is not acceptable forms of ID. So, in order to progress the application, I do just need to take some more details from you, if that's okay.
Yep.
So, the email address that we have on file is callumpepper@msn.com, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and the contact number is 07481-962-774. Okay. So, have you been known by any previous names?
No.
Okay, and could you confirm your mother's name, please, or provide me with it, should I say?
Christine.
What was that, sorry?
Christine.
And the surname?
Therefore.
Thank you. And also your father's name.
Don't know.
Okay, it's no problem. We don't need to contact them. It's just so that we can obtain the care records further down the line.
I've not had my dad in my life, so I do won't be on any care records.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And then the GP surgery that you're currently registered with.
Is Portland Park Medical Centre.
Portland Park Medical Centre. And then the address that you lived in prior to care, if you know it.
Prior to
Yeah.
care, 95 Lilac Lane.
And would you mind just spelling that, please?
LILACWYND. And if I'm right, the postcode's G727GH.
Thank you.
Fuck, it's been about 16 years since I was there, so.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, so would you like to add a beneficiary to your application?
What's that?
So, in case if anything happens to you, they can take over your application. So, like a family member
Not,
or.
not at this stage because I don't have anyone.
No, that's okay. And in, have you been diagnosed with any terminal illness?
Not terminal.
Okay. Thank you.
Just lifelong.
Okay, have you received any relevant payment, such as criminal injuries compensation, in regards to the abuse?
No.
Okay, and have you got any criminal convictions, or have you been sentenced to imprisonment of 5 years or more?
Not to 5 years or more. It was one sentence was both sentences were the same day to run consecutively, so the total time spent or sentence would have been 7 months.
Yeah,
It
no,
was
that's
4 months
okay.
for one charge, 3 months for another charge, and I was in prison for, I think, a grand total of 4 months.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
And then I get a 3 week remand, but then when that went to trial, that get I get tagged for it rather than in custody.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Okay, so in regards to the care settings, I'll need to take more details on them. Do you know the placements that you were in?
It was called a house in Blantyre.
In where, sorry?
Blantyre.
And was this a foster care or was it a children's home?
Children's home.
And that was in Blantyre.
Yep.
Was this called Wood Dean Home?
It was called our house when I was in there. I
Okay.
know it's been demolished and rebuilt, so it may have been renamed since then,
Yeah.
because I know there is a children's home in place.
Okay. And do you know the year that
Sorry.
you?
I'm
It's okay. What was you going to say?
pretty sure at the time when I was there, it was also like a council facility.
Okay.
Like they, I'm because I'm sure they had like a what to call it, a behavioural school attached to it. And if
Yeah.
it wasn't just a full school, it was like a classroom or like a couple of classrooms.
Yeah. And do you know the year that you were placed here?
See, I can't remember the exact year, but I'm positive it was before 2004 because I was in primary seven. It was the summer of prim between primary seven and going into first year of high school.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it would have been probably 2003 because I think I would have been 10 turning 11 in
Yeah.
the September of that year. So it would have been, I think, 2003.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So when we get the care records back, obviously that'll be more precise, the dates. But I'm just gonna put it down on the file now, just so we've got something to go from. Okay, so I'm just having a little look now. It's okay if you don't remember the name. Was it called Craighead House by any chance?
No, it was called Calder House when I was there.
Oh, okay.
It'd been Blantyre, which is just down the road from Hamilton.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
I know there's still an active care home on the site
Yeah.
of what was formerly my care home, and then I think it's either a school or a disability school or something else has been built there as well, but that's
Yeah.
what's there now.
And was that the only care setting that you were in, or was there any more?
So I was in that one, but then through that I would be kind of moved about to different ones, and then that was the primary one I was in though. So it's like if there'd been an incident, I'd be moved to another care home. So
Yeah,
like
and then.
and then I would
Yeah.
be moved back to that one.
And do you know the names of the other ones that you moved to?
No, I don't know the names, I know where
Just
they
know the
are because
primary
they're
one.
still
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's
one
okay.
in Campus Lyon and then the one in Hamilton I went to.
Okay.
We'll all be under South Lanarkshire Council anyway.
Yeah, so that's what, when we get the records back from them, it should have the care settings that you were in on the records. Okay, so I have filled the information in that you've provided me with, so thank you for that. And in regards to the care placements, what we need to do now is just to progress the application. I'll just need to take a brief statement in regards to what you experienced in the care home, if that's okay. So just in your own words, tell me about the basically the abuse that you suffered, if you did suffer from any. Or what was life like?
It has been like from the first day on, I was in constant fights. And when I say I was the youngest in there by about 3 years.
Yeah.
And I was in constant fights. I had older members of the care home try and force themselves upon me, all female, but still try to force themselves upon me. That was when I was first exposed to drugs and alcohol, which then developed into later issues. I was then
Yeah.
in constant fights with staff to the
Yeah.
point where they'd say they're restraining me, but it would
Yeah.
literally be I say something and then three of them would be on top of me.
Yeah.
And this is someone who's at that point maybe 4 foot 8. At most, I was.
Yeah. And was this by members of staff that They were a stranger.
Yeah, and then I was denied access to being able to call my mum for about 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks of my first time being in care. And what they tried to say is they told me all I could use the phone. They didn't tell me that because I was in a different area that it would be a different dial code. So you just so you can understand this from a kid's perspective, the care home I got taken to is maybe a mile and a half away from my mum's old house. So you wouldn't think it would be a different area code.
So they didn't tell you about the different island codes?
No, didn't tell me, didn't do anything. It wasn't until my mum, we ended up, I think it was like a review meeting 6 or 7 weeks in, and that's where they found out.
Okay, and how long were you in the care home?
I was in, I think it was about 4 months in total, but they wanted to keep me, and it was my mum that basically refused to send me back. As she put it, I came, went into care, like, badly behaved, then came out 10 times worse.
Okay, and how did the staff members treat you other than restraining you?
My first 2 weeks I was left in a storage cupboard because they didn't have an actual bedroom for me. Because I was the youngest, they kinda really tended not to bother with me whatsoever. And then if I acted out, it would be instantly restrained. Then it would be we're phoning the police and then they get the police on you and everything else and it goes from there. Then it's you get taken out of drive and then they're sitting driving like fucking animals that don't know how to control a car. And at the time you're thinking, oh right, cool, this is cool, we're driving fast and you're like you're driving at 70 miles an hour down a 40 mile an hour road. Like with 3 other kids in the car, none of which are yours and you're supposed to be the adult here.
And who was it that was driving the car?
One of the male staff members.
Okay, I'm just going to type this up for you, what you've told me up to now, just so that I can put it in the statements for the case setting.
So obviously, I'm like, does it count if it's abuse, if it's constant fights with other members, like other kids that were in care?
Yeah,
Because
so.
there's like one lassie that I constantly, like, to this day, I'll never forget her face. Because we went to the same school, she's like 2 or 3 years older than me. And it was every morning in the taxi, she would start a fight with me. And it would end up physical, and then it would continue into school, and then I'd be the one getting suspended.
No, so abuse can be, it doesn't just have to be like physical, sexual, it can be emotional, neglect based on the fact that no one intervened or no one stopped it. So that's basically.
No, they kind of left us to tend to their own.
Yeah, so that does
Like,
come under like neglect. If they didn't physically care for what happens under the noses, basically.
no, they'd also supply us with cigarettes at times as well if we asked. Wouldn't stop us from smoking. And then when it came to a few of the older ones on like Fridays that would get drunk and stuff like that, what they used to say to them was because, like I said, it was like a sports complex type council thing that was attached to us, as long as they couldn't see them down at the bottom of the field, they wouldn't give them any trouble. And that's what they get told us, stay down at the bottom of the field. And it's, I think it was before I started first year that I was running a bit drunk.
So I'm just putting this statement in for you now. Obviously explaining that you was constantly involved in fights, that you was the youngest person there by around 3 years. The older residents tried to force themselves on you. You was exposed to drugs and alcohol and cigarettes. You got restrained. The fact that you were denied access to your mum. That you weren't provided with a proper bedroom, that you were left in a storage cupboard. I've included all that for you. Okay, so I'm just going to save that to your file. So in regards to the redress application, there are two types of applications that can be pursued.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the fixed payment of £10,000. This is a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of the abuse you've suffered. Then there is the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000. So this is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level of abuse you've suffered. So based on what you've told me that you've experienced, I am going to pursue the individually assessed payment for you.
Okay.
So I just need to let you know that you don't have to attend any meeting with the Scottish Redress Scheme. We provide the detailed witness statements on your behalf to the scheme to tell your story.
Okay. So,
based on the information you've provided me with,
I'm sure the lassie's name I'm talking about that I used to be fighting with constantly. I cannot for the life of me remember her last name, but I'm sure her first name is Natalie.
Natalie, right. Okay, I'll put that info into the statement.
Because I can't remember, but so there was three that would try and force themselves upon me. Natalie, Gaynor was the older one, and I can't remember the one in the middle.
Yeah. Natalie and Gail.
Gaynor.
Oh, Dana, okay.
No, Gaynor, G-A-Y, no. Like, I've never heard the name before in my life, that's why it's still stuck
in
my
head. Yeah, Gaynor. Right, okay. Pop that in the statement for you as well. When we progress the application, you will be given the opportunity to provide a more detailed witness statement. So obviously, if you do remember more things that you want to add to the statement, we take you through a more detailed witness statement where we ask more direct questions. So how you felt, what you were exposed to, what you suffered. So this isn't the only opportunity that you've got to give a statement, if you understand me. So I'll add that to there. So based on the information you've provided me with today, the next step would be for me to send you some documents that you just need to sign and send back to us. So it'll be a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, a letter of authority, which allows us to act on your behalf as solicitors, request for proof of address and proof of identity, and the redress application forms. So you're under no pressure or obligation to proceed. However, you can either take the documents away, read them and sign them and send them back to us, or I can stay on the phone and guide you through how to access them because they are sent by text and email. It is entirely up to you. Say that again, sorry.
I can just get them when they come through and do it myself, that's fine.
Yeah, so I'll just pop them through to you now. So it'll just be documents that you've got to digitally sign, and then at the bottom there'll be a tick box, and then you just submit it back to us.
Not a problem.
Let me just make sure everything's right. Okay. So they should come through in a few seconds. Doesn't take that long.
Yep, got them now.
So obviously you can sign them, return them back to us, and then I'll also send you an email out in regards to the proof of address and proof of identity.
Not a problem.
So I'll just pop that over to you and then send that back. It'll just be a photo of your photographic ID if you do have one. If you don't have a photographic ID, we can accept three letters of your address dated within the last 3 months.
My driver's license is still at my old address, but I can give you that with like multiple different addresses. It's just because my passport expired last month.
No, that's okay. So if the address doesn't match, obviously if you've got three letters with
Aye, that's
your
fine.
address on, yeah, dated within the last 3 months, you can just send us them instead.
Right, that's not a problem.
So that should be everything up to now. If we do need anything further, then obviously we can either ring, email, or text, and obviously you can do the same as well. So
No worries.
thank you very much for your time today. Is there anything else I can help you with?
No, that's everything. Thanks for explaining it a bit more.
No, it's okay. So obviously whenever you're ready, just get them signed and sent back to us, and then we can process the application.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Oh, you take care now, bye.
Yes, bye bye.